Blog Talk Radio.
Bonjour mes amis, ça va bien? Oh, I hope we're all ça va bien-ing tonight. Well, fall is here, and I am here. I am Sybil Brunson, and I am coming to you live right now on Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. This is our weekly podcast. We come to you live every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oh, dear, we're already having problems. Eastern Standard Time and 7 Central, or your corresponding time zone. We are literally podcasting right now to you live all around the world. Imagine our technology. This is going to Australia and Madagascar and Germany and Norway and South Africa and even Akron, Ohio. Amazing that we're everywhere at this time. And I'm here, as always, with my wonderful producer, my muse. She is the head chemist and creator of DaughtersOfIsis.com, Gwendolyn Holden-Berry. Gwendolyn, are you clearing your throat? Are you having some congestion too?
A cotton sniffle.
My goodness.
I left the window open, right, and my head sleeps at the window, and I left it open, and believe it or not, it went down into the low 50s, I think I caught a sniffle. I'm a little congested, so please pardon.
Okay. Well, I just want to make sure that our audience at home understands that the temperature going down to the 50s is because she is, Gwendolyn is in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and that's chilly for them. Where I am is in the suburbs of Pennsylvania, and the temperature is already down in the 30s. So we have no sympathy for the crowd that's complaining about the 50s. There's no leaving your window open up here unless you've got, you know, a broken radiator, and the radiator is simply pouring steam out of your out of its metal casing, the way that used to happen in New York. I mean, my first apartment, I had a radiator in my tenement walk-up that pumped steam. It was like living in a steam bath in the middle of February. It was wild. I want to remind everyone that our sponsor, as always, is DaughtersOfIsis.com. That's DaughtersOfIsis.com, all one word, and it's the fragrant memories of our ancestors. And we also are brought to you by listeners like you at home. Thank you. Our phone number, if you would like to call in tonight and talk about anything, is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. I want to remind you, you're listening to Come Now, Don't Sulk, part of the Here Be Monsters studio on Blog Talk Radio Network. We are here every Monday night at 8 o'clock, and we suggest a topic every week, although it's kind of carte blanche here. So we encourage you to call in and chat with us about anything you'd like to. I had proposed this week to talk about the fact that with COVID lifting somewhat in some parts of the country, we can't use COVID quarantining anymore as an excuse not to see family and in-laws or anything at your boss and his wife at Thanksgiving dinner. 2 years ago, Thanksgiving dinner was almost an overture to the Civil War being reenacted with politics at the table. Last year, not so much, because COVID literally shut down air travel, bus travel, train travel. It's amazing to think that a year ago right now, basically everyone was being told to stay home, to safe distance if they had the nerve to go out in public, and to wear masks. Vaccinations were still a dream to be, you know, fantasized about. No one had come up with vaccines as yet, but no one was going to see relatives. No one with any sense was going to see relatives, for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. And now with COVID although it's in its fifth, surge, which is very unfortunate. And Anthony Fauci, predicted that we would have surges if people weren't careful. But it, even with the surge, it still is mostly, well, it certainly is waning from last year. So we have 1,500 deaths a day, but we don't have 10,000 deaths a day or whatever. So we're going back to almost normal. People are, getting vaccinated and trying to see their relatives. And so I said that maybe one thing we would do is visit with people, you listeners, calling in and talking to us about how are you going to spend Thanksgiving. And if we dial it into the food and the recipes, well, Pamela Jett, please call in. And Kimberly Young, if we're going to talk about how to winterize your plants, you can call in. And if Wayne Johnson is listening, he can call in and weigh in on stuff. And by the way, if Ron is listening from your Sunday show, I wish Ron would call in. He definitely should be one of our panelists. We kind of run the show as a What's My Line thing with me as John Cameron Swayze and Gwendolyn and our other listeners, our team of panelists as my celebrity panel. What are you doing, Gwendolyn, for Thanksgiving?
Well, the kids moved into their new home and they're having everybody over, but
tell everyone who the kids are. You got to tell everyone at home who the kids are.
The kids are the fairy tale wedding. My nephew, George, and his new wife, Gabby. They're such
pretty
kids. They're wonderful. And I think he's off shift, no firefighting. And so they're going to entertain about 20 people in their new home. And I'm going to make the cranberry compote. But I'm gonna send it over with Deb, and I'm gonna make something for Bob and I here at the house because you can't leave your buddies alone at Thanksgiving.
No.
So I'm going Christmas. Everybody will be somewhere designated, and I'll go to Christmas dinner, and that'll be great.
Are they gonna have that many people for Christmas?
I don't know. I'm not big with the big family crowds. I mean, it takes forever to get a cocktail. And then somebody's always sitting in your seat out on the smoking porch. So
apropos of 20, are they going to be observing like vaccination cards and masks or how are they resolving all that?
Everybody is vaccinated. That's a thing amongst the crowd. Of course, you're talking to firefighters.
Thank
here.
God.
And,
well, thank God.
Yeah, and the family, actually, her mom and her mother's fella, who are building their own place in Nova Scotia, are coming down, and her mom is from Berlin, and she's a gas. I love her. She's wonderful, Claudia. And they've all been duly vaccinated and the whole shebang.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, everybody is vaccinated in our clan. Everyone.
You got a booster, didn't you? You got your third shot.
No, I haven't gone and gotten a booster yet. I have to make that happen soon.
You have to make that happen right away. They're saying that the first two shots were great, but the booster is necessary because they're saying that our immunization is waning to that first round of vaccine. So,
and I've gone and caught a sniffle. So I guess you're.
Are you?
Right.
Did you get Pfizer? I've forgotten what you said. Did you get Pfizer or Moderna?
I got Pfizer.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah.
Well, I'm very lucky because I got my booster just 3 weeks ago, so I'm thrilled because now I'm triple vaccinated, and I couldn't be happier. It's one less thing to worry about as far as I'm concerned.
Well, seeing as I'm in South Florida, I don't think I'll have to take a folding chair to stand in line. But because, I got the sciatica going, baby.
Right.
But, I think basically, I've been looking. Well, we got Bob's doctor did that and the last time, but he says you have to go now and make an appointment at a different place. So We're going to be on top of that this week. We want to get it done before next week.
Absolutely,
even,
yeah.
You know, before the end of the month when everybody gets together. So, yeah, that's on the list.
Yeah, and we want you at home listening right now. Please do not resist getting vaccinated and getting your boosters. Please, please, please. It's just science. It's not politics. Please get it done, okay? So you're doing cranberry compote. I love any cranberry products at this time of year. I don't care
too.
If it's made with oranges and lemons and if it's the jelly or that's the berries or the – I love cranberry bread. I love cranberry cookie, oatmeal cookies. It's like anything that cranberries – maybe it's the New England girl in me, but I just – cranberries have always been something I absolutely adore in all
they
their iterations, so –
they are good. You know, my favorite thing is to do, I always make sure I have a little can of that awful lotion spray jelly so that the next day I can make a turkey sandwich with plenty of almonds and the cranberry jelly. I love that.
Yeah.
When
I was a child, I used to love cranberry jelly, and you couldn't even get it off season necessarily, but ocean spray, I kept ocean spray floating in my parents and grandparents were shocked that I would have cranberry sauce in, and we didn't have the berry sauce. We had the jelly out of the can, and it was, which is so Midwestern too. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. My grandmother was shocked. She said, "Why are you eating that? We make cranberry sauce from scratch." And it was like, I just liked it, you know, as opposed to Jell-O. I thought the cranberry sauce out of the can with its ridges in it, you'd open both ends and you'd dump it out and there would be quivering on the plate with its its can ridges.
talk about
junk food.
My mother said we grew up with an impeccable formal dinner, you know, with all the crystal and the china and the sterling and all of that. And my mother had this wonderful crystal. My sister still has it. This crystal, like, it's probably best described as a etched crystal gravy boat, but it was like extra because we have the sterling gravy pitchers, you know?
Of and course, so yeah.
Mom would dump the can of the cranberry, ocean spray cranberry into that crystal with a sterling spoon, you know, and say, "Then we have cranberry." And I was like, oh my God. By the time I was 16, I knew how to make cranberry compote. And
that's so funny.
It went over well.
Yes. That is funny, though, to serve Jell-O and fine Limoges china with carrot shavings in it and, you know, spam bits or something.
Oh, my God. You know, watch the Wedgwood, honey.
That's funny. I want to remind everyone at home, you can call in. It's 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. I wish we would get a phone call from Germany sometime or Australia.
We do have one phone call. Our good friend from Annapolis is on the phone.
Well, that's Wayne.
Well,
listen,
morning.
I want you
and
to also listen.
Congratulations, you got it correct. Annapolis.
I want to encourage, if Ron is listening, Ron, you should call in. I called in last night on your show, and you should call in on our show. Wouldn't it be nice to have Ron join us tonight?
Ron is such a treasure. For those who don't know Ron on your show there, Sybil, is a dual doctorate in political science and history, a published author. He's got over 50-some years of experience teaching and studying those two subjects to get his doctorates in both. Just a wealth of knowledge. He's such a treasure. He's a wealth of knowledge, as you know.
Well, he's wonderful. He's wonderful, but I'm sure that he doesn't have any appointment tonight as a doctor. So encourage Ron, if you're listening, call in tonight, unless you're in the emergency room of history.
You guys forget the most important thing about Ron. He's a sincere, enthusiastic, sweet man who really cares really, really cares about what's going on in this country and the world. Even though he's still, you know, pretty old school, I think we would say. He's still one of my favorite people in the world. And if he did call in, it'd be fun. It would be fun.
I agree. I'm you know, total agreement with you there, Gwen. So,
what was that chime just then? Was that like Tinkerbell visiting and calling in?
Yeah, that's right.
I told the gang that when I'm on with Sybil, no Tinkerbell, but you know how they are.
Wayne,
depends on how Sybil takes it.
Wayne, our subject tonight is very much up in the air, but I suggested that with COVID quarantining sort of drawing to a close, a lot of people are not going to be able to use the excuse that, well, you know, Grandma, it's quarantine and we can't see you this year. You know, so it's not quite the excuse that it used to be. So I'm just wondering, A, how are you spending Thanksgiving, first of all? And then and then I'll come up with a second topic for you and Gwendolyn to discuss, you know.
Well,
but what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Well, I don't, my wife's family, she's one of six, and they normally had a big thing, but I tell you what, Sybil, they are so infested with Trumpism and the COVID is a fake news and stuff. I've already announced to my wife that I will not be going to their Thanksgiving this year. It is what it is.
So you
are
the bullseye. You're the bullseye for my topic.
Yeah, yeah.
When I posted on Facebook today, I hinted at that, and I wasn't sure where either you or Gwendolyn were going to be on this topic. But you are ground zero.
I am the raw meat for their vicious dogs, their alpha male dogs for attacking him.
So
because
she is going to go then.
Huh? Yeah, I will let her. Please, it's her family. She can go. I cannot.
But how do we deal with the fact that she's entering a room with God knows how many people who are not vaccinated? Who, I mean, so she's fully vaccinated. Has she had her booster shot?
Yes. Yeah, she works in the medical field.
Oh, great. So she's triple vaccinated, and we're just
going
to hope that the worst that could happen is that she would catch it and it would just be a bad cold.
Right, right. So that's c'est la vie. And the thing is they're vaccinated.
Oh.
Because there's, like, the oldest sister was in charge of the emergency room for many, many years. And
Not vaccinated or were anti-vaccinated.
No. Well, some of them aren't. Like the nephews. There's a nephew who, he has a super spreader party, you know, kind of shit. You dumbass.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. That's the sad part.
So, Wayne, what does that mean? He's going to walk in, and, I mean, he'll be, I guess, fully vulnerable because if someone is carrying it. The thing about if I'm up to my speed on this with the latest variations, a person who's fully vaccinated can be carrying the virus.
Correct.
And either be mildly symptomatic or not symptomatic at all. They're simply carrying it, but it's not doing anything in their bodies, A.
That is correct.
And B, they could carry it and end up compromising someone who is unvaccinated and unprotected. Is that correct?
That is a correct statement.
So your nephew, your super spreader nephew, you know, your COVID denier, QAnon person, could walk in and be seriously ill by December 1st.
Absolutely. You know, what do you want me to say, Sybil? They're dumbasses.
No, but it's what you and Gwendolyn and Ron and I were talking about last night. It's like the crowd that believes they can take off a shoe, hold it in front of them up in the air, and let go of it. And if they decide and Donald Trump decide that it will float, it will float. And it's just like that level of stupidity of like denying gravity, of denying 21st century basic thinking is just baffling to me, just baffling.
I cannot be around these people. I just cannot be around these people. They're that damn stupid. And the thing is It's like the Ron White little statement that he made. I may have the right to remain silent. I just don't have the ability. You just say something stupid, I'm going to look at you and say, oh, dear God, please die right now.
Wayne, who said that? Who did you quote? I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
He's a comedian, Ron White. He's part of that Redneck Tour.
Yeah. Yes, I know exactly who you mean.
Yes, you know.
Listen, 2 years ago, we were dealing with stupidity, but not COVID. And so we dealt with stupidity, and, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving dinners would verge on the Civil War, reenactment of the Civil War, with families splitting down the center. But it wasn't life and death. Unless, of course, people brought guns and were killing. But there wasn't an issue at the table that was life and death, like COVID and whether or not you should be masked or safe distance or get a vaccine. Now, the issue is life and death.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's fascinating to me how people are going to deal with it. One of my friends on I think it was Felix Ramos, one of my Facebook friends, sent me one of those little blurbs tonight and said, be sure to discuss politics at Thanksgiving dinner this year, in big bold print. And it said, saves money on Christmas presents. I just thought that was so
That's cute.
I messaged him right back and said, excellent idea, wonderful budget choice.
Yeah, I'm
what,
use
steak
that
is too
year.
Expensive? They discuss politics, you know. If gasoline and presents and wheat is too expensive, talk politics at the Thanksgiving table.
I might have sent it to you or not, but anyway, it says, talking politics at dinner, right, has ruined politics. Has ruined family reunions at Thanksgiving dinners for since 1776.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yes, that's true. That's very true. And I'm sure that, you know, at that time, and then, of course, definitely in the 1850s and 60s leading up to the Civil War, I mean, people were just like at the end of their rope. That's why I said to you and Gwendolyn and Wayne last night that Ron last night, that I feel that if the world is even still functioning, let alone America, in 100 years, people will look back and say, did people know that they were about to, you know, descend into the great Civil War of 2027? You know, did they know that they were literally heading towards the great cataclysm of 2025 or whatever? It's like, only historians will be checking the newspapers and the videotapes, the old videotapes and films, to see what people were saying, just as we today could go to a library and look at microfilm of, you know, yellowed newspapers from, you know, Atlanta and from Boston from 1859 talking about, the United States is definitely heading towards a constitutional crisis here. So it's wild, just wild.
Very true, very true.
If Pamela Jett is listening, I'd like to encourage her to call in and give us some food stuff.
We should have a caller. I don't know who it is, but we do have another caller. Caller, your mic is open.
Who's
Hi,
that caller?
It's Pamela Jett.
I don't believe it. Where have you been, you lazy bitch?
I know, right? Right?
I know you've had stuff going on, but we have missed you, Miss.
Yeah, it's been a little hectic around here.
I know.
So I've been listening, but I have a question off of your, not off of your subject, but on another topic. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And just an opinion. So in a case where this is between a woman and a man, right?
Uh-huh.
A straight woman and a homosexual man.
Okay.
So the straight woman or the homosexual man and the woman are fighting, and the man calls the woman a bitch, right?
Right.
And then the woman calls the homosexual man a faggot, right?
Okay.
So it was asked to the homosexual, was that an act of violence towards a woman?
So calling her a bitch, was that would anyone consider that an act of violence to the woman?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And what was the answer?
The answer was, yes, it is an act of violence.
Okay.
But then the homosexual person asked, well, the woman called me a faggot. Is that an act of violence? And the answer was no.
Oh, that's interesting. Why?
How
what
does
was
that
the reason
differ?
Given?
Because
how does that differ?
She's a woman.
What?
Oh, dear.
Excuse me.
Oh, dear.
I'm a woman.
Is this a legal precedence, or is this some kind of an opinion from Facebook or a newspaper or something like that?
No. This is an occurrence that has happened recently in my life, so.
Oh, okay. In your life.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Okay, well, I'm going to let everybody answer. But first of all, I'm just going to say that although I love you, Pamela, you do hang around with a violent crowd, especially because you go to those roller derby things on Saturdays. And I just don't. They eat with their hands. They eat with their feet. They're rough. They have tattoos in places that no one should ever ink. You're already hanging around with a downtown crowd. But having said that, I'm someone who believes that I'm going to take heat for this, but I believe that it's like the First Amendment. If the First Amendment has to be for everybody, and if you start nibbling at the First Amendment on one end of the spectrum, then you have to nibble at the other end and back and forth and back and forth. Free speech is free speech, and it's a tricky thing because you may not like what someone else is saying. But if you want to be able to say stuff, then you have to allow someone to say stuff. This whole thing of gender stuff, I've seen a woman hit a man in public violently again and again, and the man resisted striking her back. But he was taking a beating, and she was roundhousing him. And it was like, oh, my God. And he was not hitting her. And finally, he was bloodied, finally. And he finally hauled back and socked her one. And she went down cold. And
wow.
People were torn because it was like she had selected physical violence as a way of dealing with something. And in my and other people's observation, she was using her gender to get away with physical violence, thinking that she could just keep doing that and that he wouldn't hit back because that wasn't the quote-unquote right thing to do. And finally, to defend himself, he hauled off and ended her attack. And police came and police came after he had resorted to that. They were on their way, and people, spoke about this and told what happened. I find the fact that bitch is considered violence, but faggot is not. That doesn't seem fair to me. I don't think that language necessarily is violent. But of course, it could be. But then, if it is, it's what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So that's where I stand. Where do you stand? Let's let Gwendolyn say what she thinks.
I think that calling somebody a fag, if they're doing it in violence, I mean, I don't use that word. I'll say queer or bar rail. Banter, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But I've never called anybody, because to me that's offensive and it's a profanity. It's to demean somebody and to disrespect them. And equally, if you call somebody a bitch in that vein, a woman, but I call more men bitches than I do women. That's a sign. But that it's all wrong, guys. We coming into Thanksgiving, going trial on down to Christmas. Yeah, how you gonna act, Pamela? nobody has the right, really, to, but old friends, when they get into tussles, and I've seen this a million times, especially late at night or what have you, I've seen people get into it and regret the next day, but of course they mend and make up very quickly too. There are some places where you might think, oh, well, they'll mend it, they'll make up, they didn't mean it, kind of thing. But when it's meant and it becomes an issue and it rolls on, wrong. That's just my opinion.
Wayne, where do you stand?
Oh, my. Well, okay, it goes to the heterosexual panelist here.
All right, I'm already offended. Okay, Strady McStraderson, get out of here.
Sybil, darling, you know I love you. You know, both are wrong, but, you know, in the heat of the moment, I've also always been of the mind that is calling someone a faggot as you're attacking them now has progressed into a hate crime. But, you know, I guess it all depends on who the two people are involved.
Yes.
But I can also know the old standards. Matter of fact, there was a woman who was a coworker, and I'm talking 35 years ago. She was, you know, broad-shouldered, raised. I know she could bare-knuckle my ass in the ground.
Oh, dear.
And she and her husband got into an argument and stuff, and, well, she went physical with him and stuff, and they called the cops, you know, and of course a family, you know, a domestic dispute and stuff. But they arrested the husband and took his ass to jail, even though she was standing there, no, I started it, I hit him.
Why
it
did
didn't
they
matter. He was
why
the
did they take him away? Because he did hit her back?
Maybe he was defending himself, right? But she was the one that was whipping his ass, like,
wow,
you know, the scenario
wow.
you gave, right? And like I said, she was a tough broad. I mean, you know, I would definitely want her in a bar fight, okay, on my side. And but because he was the man, he was the one they took him to jail. Even though she was standing there as they were, you know, handcuffing him, walking along, she said, no, I was the one that started it. I was hitting him.
Gosh.
So, you know, so there's also a double standard there, too. And I guess that's where I've got to leave it.
The double standard thing is, I think, It's very tricky. It just is. And we've talked about this whole thing on this program. And you know what? We've got a double standard here with the trial of Rothauser, whatever his name is. You know, it's like this thing of, okay, there was rioting, but he and his mother went there to anticipate the rioting, and so they went there to quote unquote defend property or lives, and so it's like, for heaven's sakes, you know, it's so infuriating, the whole thing, because the extreme right is looking for any mm-hmm. crack in the door that they can squeeze mm-hmm. through. You know, you've got okay. Black Lives Matter protesting, and you have a handful of people, whether they're Donald Trump, you know, Antifa people or whatever, or they're you know, in people who operated and wanted to get there and get a new Xbox. They wanted to get a new TV set, so they showed up hoping for the best on that. So you have people doing that, and you have so many people in the Black Lives Matter who are protesting peacefully and wanting it to be legit, and their cause mm-hmm. is legit, and the purposes are legit, and the family of the deceased is there being legit. Everything is legit. You have a handful of people who are opportunistic in one way or another, who do in fact throw a brick through a appliance store, do in fact walk out with a big screen TV, and that triggers a police response and a what's-his-name response, where he goes with
Kyle,
a machine
Kyle
gun.
Rittenhouser.
You're Rittenhouse. It's like, it's so infuriating, the whole thing. So, and where is the violence? The whole thing is people are saying, well, wait a minute, was one of the guys charging him and that triggered him, but unarmed. One of the guys was trying to grab the gun and had no gun himself. So maybe he was trying to grab the gun to keep Rittenhouse from shooting. But then one of the people that was shot did in fact say, if I catch hold of you, I'm going to kill you. But it was like, it's just the big problem in our country. And of course, everyone, the Second Amendment crowd is going to disagree with this, is we have too many guns. And George Washington, you know, I love when people say, I can have as many guns as I want because Thomas Jefferson fought and died for me, and he wanted me to have guns. Yeah, George Washington never wanted you to have the latest state-of-the-art cannon in your backyard. George Washington, alive today, would not want farmers to have bazookas and flamethrowers. The military, George Washington and his army, you know, credentialed by the Congress, such as it was, they had the best weapons that people had invented, and they encouraged farmers and workers who had their muskets, who, you know, go out and shoot rabbits and quail. Yeah, bring your musket, your homemade musket that you have to load yourself. But the weapons that we have at our disposal as a nation so far are, that's for us, and we're not going to give you all cannons. You can't be Farmer McGregor from Buttpolk, Massachusetts, and have the best cannon. But we have hillbillies who have state-of-the-art, you know, Pentagon-level, Army-grade machine guns. That's not the Second Amendment.
Right. If you allow me to interject here, because
please.
I have fired over 1,000 rounds with the M16, the military-grade weapon. This kid had an AR-15, 17 years old, not old enough to join the military by himself. He would have to give his mother's signature.
Exactly.
But by God, he had an AR-15, which is a military-grade weapon that is solely designed to exterminate people rapidly and quickly. That's what it's very efficient for doing.
Yes.
That's what it's designed for. He then went from one state to another state with that weapon, and in my mind, he went there with the intention that he was going to shoot one of those rioters. He was going to inflict justice and military, I mean, and police justice himself, and he started opening up on the crowd.
Well, and not only that, Wayne, but he did, and his mother drove him. What I find interesting is that there were 1,000 people there with guns who were doing that.
Oh,
he wasn't the only person who came up. He's the only person that managed to kill someone. But we have a whole culture of people who think it's okay to take an entire arsenal of weapons to events that displease them. Yeah. And people rioted on the state house steps of Michigan when the governor insisted on protocols. And it's like, wait a minute, you have a bunch of toothless hillbillies wandering around, a bunch of butt poke people wandering around with army grade weapons, threatening the governor of a state because she's saying things they don't like. If those people, and I've said this before and you agreed, if those rioters a year ago, 2 years ago, had been black, police would have machine gunned them down and killed them. If January 6th had been an Obama-inspired thing with hundreds of black people or gays or liberals or lesbians or whatever, they would have been gunned down. The steps of the Capitol would have looked like the steps of the Senate in ancient Rome when they would have those purges, you know, when Nero had 500 people killed and when, you know, Caligula had 500 people killed. It's like the Capitol steps would have had bodies everywhere. But no, we have this double standard. Back to the double standard.
And
some of us, like you, are not willing to go and, you know, sit and deal with this at a dinner table. Pamela, what are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I do I don't do turkey and all of that, so we're doing grilled lobster and seared scallops and grilled shrimp and crab legs and making a rice dish. I am making a huge skillet cookie with caramel and vanilla.
Oh my God.
ice cream and some cheddar biscuits. That's Thanksgiving for me this year.
And you're doing it all. You're doing all the cooking by yourself.
Oh yeah, yeah, I do it all by myself.
And who's coming?
It's just my me, my partner, my son, and my mother is flying in, and then my best friend is coming up from Largo.
Wow. Wow, so it's just six people.
Yeah, six, sorry, yeah, six. Yep.
Well, now, the abundance, and I know I'm speaking for Wayne and for Gwendolyn right now, the abundance of your dinner really merits you sending out some care packages to people like Gwendolyn and Wayne and me. We talked about the fact that you do not share and ship food to people who you say you love. And I'm just curious as why can't a crab leg, you know, one lobster and a bit of the cookie come into a small package up to where I'm living? I know that Annapolis has mail service. I don't understand. And you know what? Screw Wayne. Screw me. Your own fellow Floridian. I mean, let's be honest. Gwendolyn's just down the road. So
I know.
Couldn't
come on
you
up.
Share
just,
something?
Come on up.
That's just being made by
oh, that's special.
Hit
yeah.
and put on the leather express. Because the only car at the house will be over with the kids.
Pamela, can you do me a favor, though? It sounds
yes.
glorious, and I would really love you to, A, post a recipe or two, if you can, on like this Friday, because it's the last Friday before Thanksgiving,
yes.
maybe
yes.
a recipe of something that you really are proud of. And then the other thing is, and I really want this, if you won't post a recipe, but would you do me a favor and take a drop-dead, Red Book-level, women's Circle magazine-level photograph, possibly an aerial shot, of the table with all that food on it, laid out as pretty
sure.
as you can before anyone eats it, and then post it on the Lollipop Guild, because I really
sure.
think that it would be lovely for people to see a really beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spread. That sounds absolutely delicious, and I love that it's all seafood. I love that you're going
oh,
that
yeah.
route.
Yeah.
That's
and then
so,
the reason
I see,
why
I love
is
Thanksgiving
because
that are
I'm the only
like
one that.
That
likes turkey out of the group, so it's like, why am I going to cook a turkey if I'm the only
no,
one
to no.
eat it?
Oh,
yeah.
I really enjoy the turkey, but my mom used to do standing rib for Christmas. You know, she'd change it up.
Yes, of course.
With
of
that
course.
Lovely, lovely horseradish sauce, you know. That you
and
made.
It's very
yeah,
Charles
I do,
Dickens
I do
to
a,
do that. That's a very
I
Charles
do a prime
Dickens
rib
English
at
thing
Christ,
to do.
At prime rib at Christmas time, I do that. That's
uh-huh.
usually what we do. Prime rib, and then I usually do stuffed lobster tails with that, and
oh
a twice-baked potato, and then asparagus what? With some hollandaise, and then I usually make a cheesecake of some kind.
So oh what kind of, what do you stuff your lobster tail with, crab meat or?
I do a mixture of crab and scallops.
Ooh, there you go.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
I'm sorry. I'm going to sign off now only because my mouth is so watering that I've soaked my blouse and I'm choking on my own saliva. So I think I'm going to actually drown in my own saliva right now. Oh my God.
There you go. Very nice. Very nice. Love
I'm looking
it.
Down. I realized that Pamela. Her description, I just put on 7 pounds, just listening.
Precious.
You know, it's
very
the
good.
Holiday. You got to live it up.
No, you're yeah. absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
You know?
That's true. That's very true. I got it. That's the truth. Yeah.
Pamela, I love this. The literal pornographic sex of your description of food is just lovely. It's just as dirty and filthy as it could possibly be. It's wonderful.
But yes, yes, I do need to start posting again on the Lollipop Guild. I've had a very hectic life, but things are calming down, so I'll be back there.
Well, you've been missed, and we love you there. And I knew that you've been going through some stuff and that you definitely are, you know, missed and appreciated and loved. And so just so you know that. So, you know, I think I think what's wonderful is that we're finding ways to be joyful through 4 years of insanity, followed by, you know, a catastrophe, plague, followed by, you know, economic woes. We're watching poor Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, you know, stressed to the maximum with nonsense. And we're watching the gleeful revenge of Republicans, you know, like McCarthy and everything. You know, they're doing everything but dancing around a bonfire, you know, in joy over the fact that inflation has started again and, you know, prices are rising. I mean, anything that they can hook their nightmare to. It's like for people like us, the four of us, we're finding ways to find joy. The sun was setting tonight after a cloudy day. I mean, it was like almost like pitch black all day where I live. And the sun came out at 5 PM and it was right way down on the horizon and it skimmed the tops of the trees all around here on the mountainside that I live on and down into the valley and everything. And trees were literally flaming in color. It didn't seem possible.
Beautiful.
So the sky was still black overhead with dark rolling clouds, but you know what I'm talking about, you guys. The sun was skimming just as it was about to set, and so it was hitting trees from the side and going through the trees, and everything was glowing as if it was a forest fire, and it was heartbreakingly beautiful. And all I could do, I just looked at it and just, I say thank you, not every day, I say it hourly. I say thank you hourly to the most simple things in the world. And I think that, you know, I reiterate to everyone, be present, be mindful, be grateful. If you're at a Thanksgiving dinner and there's two people there that you hate their guts, and if there's 12 people there that you hate their guts, and there's one person, you know, your Aunt Edna, who's 85 and who's a charmer and a lovely, and, you know, she's mischievous and everything, sit beside her and focus on her and just be great. Find something on that table or at that table. Find things that can be lovely and that you can pin your joy on. And just try to be away from what does not make you feel joyful. It's just it's work, but it's worthy work. It's a job well worth doing. You know, be a joyous warrior. Be a happy warrior. Be someone who looks for joy and spreads some joy and try not to let, you know, the forces of darkness or banality or whatever sink your holiday. Just look at the three of my three, you know, fellow panelists tonight. You know, Gwendolyn, look what she's doing. She's making cranberry compote, and you know that she's going to pour half a bottle of whiskey into it, and then it will, because she only has half a bottle left, she'll pour the full bottle of vodka into it and then accidentally set it on fire when she drops a cigarette near it. This is joy. This is joy.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
You don't know how close to truth that is.
See, that's joy. Pamela calls in. We haven't heard from her for ages. She calls in. She talks filth on the phone. Pure dirt, sex, listing foods and descriptions, and then alternate foods for Christmas. And I know some of you are masturbating at home. I know you are. Don't deny it. Some of you got naked when Pamela came on and started masturbating while she talked about lobster stuffed with scallops and rice and stuff. And then Wayne, a straight guy. Okay. And he comes in and he tells us what we all are really worried about. You know, being confronted by a room full of people that are QAnons or whatever. And what's his solution? Not showing up.
That's good. It's working for me.
I'll tell you, Wayne, you are not alone. This whole country has got people. I mean, my next door neighbors on both sides are talking about the fact that they've got, you know, QAnon conspiracy people in their homes and their in-laws or their own parents. Lindsay, my next door neighbor, has parents that are completely steeped in QAnon and believe that the Pope was assassinated like months ago and that he's been replaced by a double a lookalike who's not allowed to speak too much because
really.
He's got an accent from Brooklyn or something. I don't
know. Oh, my.
Poor Franny.
Anyway, let's talk about things you want to talk about. Pamela, you're the stranger. What is there something you'd like to talk about?
I don't know.
Anything that's making you happy or is annoying you?
I have something that, they kind of pissed me off the other day, but.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about it.
I think you were talking, before I got on about, I'm assuming based on what I was listening to, because I came in the middle of it, that it had to do something with the stupid people and the vaccine and that. Is that what I'm guessing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it goes along those lines. So I had an argument with somebody that works for me, and they have talked about their children getting the vaccine right? And they say, well, it's against their religion, okay? All right. So I'm just going to say that, and I didn't say anything. But then in the same breath, then they talked about the Christmas holidays coming up and celebrating Christmas, and that's when I kind of lost it and said, you just told me that you don't believe in the vaccine because your religion, but your religion also doesn't approve of Christmas. So you're using religion as convenience
when
a religion is a practice and a belief. And if you're practicing and believing in that religion, using it as a convenience is not what you're supposed to be doing, in my opinion.
What religion are they, by the way? Can you tell me?
Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, I was going to say Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Oh, yeah. And I have exposure to Jehovah's Witness stuff. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, how can you in one breath say I'm not going to get it and my kid's not going to get it because it's against our religion, but then you want to talk about putting up your Christmas tree and talking about a Christian holiday and a holiday that Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate. So you're using religion.
What did the person say?
They didn't have anything to say because I called them on the carpet.
No, but were they crushed? Were they angry? Were they sad? Did they cry? Did they storm off?
No. They just kind of like, they said, well, my husband likes Christmas. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Does your husband not want you to live either? I mean.
And I have another question about this because I find it fascinating. So their children never got a polio or a tetanus shot or any of those vaccines?
Oh, right. I say the same thing. I'm like, what? You got vaccines. You're still here.
And what did they say to that? Did she have an answer to that?
She's like, well, I didn't have a choice. I'm like, you're right, you didn't. At that time.
Right.
Bizarre.
Did her children get a tetanus vaccine? I mean, because if they didn't, that means that her children could prick their fingers on the beach on a rusty nail and die of tetanus, which is an excruciating way to die. I don't understand the whole polio, not getting vaccinated, but... Did you get vaccinated for polio? Did you get vaccinated against measles or mumps? This whole vaccination thing is absolutely astounding. And I'm going to reiterate what Singapore is doing. I don't know if you heard about this, Pamela, but we talked about it last night. Singapore, which is reaching a 98% vaccination rate. They're hyper-vaccinated. Everybody's vaccinated. But Singapore is so disgusted. First of all, they're so wealthy and so, modern and so 21st century. They have decided that if somebody gets COVID who is unvaccinated, they will not provide medical care for them.
Oh, I heard that, yeah.
So you go to a hospital in Singapore as a citizen and you have COVID and they find out if you don't have a vaccination card or any proof, you got it because you were unvaccinated, they will not admit you. You're on your own, unless you have a checkbook that's unlimited. you can make out a check, I guess, for $400,000, which is your care. But, I mean, that's the situation here in this country. We have people that, you know, it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to cure someone of COVID, and here we're taking care of people that are not vaccinated. It's like, it's ridiculous. I can't remember what corporation it was. That was it, one of the airlines, or Wayne, you might know, that one of the major corporations said, if you are unvaccinated, and you don't present a vaccine card. This was months ago. It wasn't that you would lose your job. Their initial thing was that your insurance rates would be multiplied by 10. So your weekly paycheck would suddenly be emptied into your insurance because you were they would not – why should you participate in the group plan and impoverish it because you hadn't taken care of yourself? Why should all your fellow workers' insurance be punished for you because you now have to go in and we have to spend $500,000 curing you of something that would have been cured if you'd gotten a free vaccine. It's ridiculous. Right. But no one wants to be these people want it their way, and their way. This is the tantruming child syndrome that we live with in this country. I don't have to do anything, but when I end up with a dirty diaper, you have to take my diaper off and wash my ass. I get to be dirty, and you have to wash me because Thomas Jefferson said I'm allowed.
I don't want a vaccine. I don't want a vaccine, but you got to take care of me and help me because
that's what I just was saying. That's what the metaphor was. I get to shit in my pants, and I get to do that, and it's your job to clean me. It's for heaven's sakes, really? It's astounding. That behavior should end with childhood. You know, a child eventually is told, no, you have to go to the bathroom now. Go into the bathroom and shit in the toilet. I'm teaching you how to do this, and this is how it works. You're a minor, and I'm taking care of you. But, my God, by the time you're 16 and 17, and your mother drives you across the state line so you can machine gun people? No.
Right.
No. No, that's a dirty diaper. You're an entitled, dirty diaper. You're a brat, and you should be punished to the fullest and most horrifying extreme of the law. You decided to act like an adult with a weapon, and now you have to be disposed of. You decided not to get a free vaccine, and you got sick, and now you're going to a hospital where everyone has to compromise themselves and take care of you? No. Go to hell. Go to hell. And Singapore is brave enough to say it. We're still curtsying and polite. We're still bowing out of the room, backing out of the room, curtsying to people like Donald Trump. They only understand a shovel coming down on their heads. This courtesy thing is gone too far, and it's endangering people that are trying. It's endangering, you know, unborn infants. It's endangering pregnant mothers. It's endangering elderly people. It's like, no, you don't get to have measles. You don't get to be a measles carrier and walk in. Oh, my God, the ultimate. These nurses that won't get vaccinated, but they're walking into OBGYN wards and taking care of sick people. Wait a minute. You don't get to keep your job. But how does that work? I don't understand. I don't understand.
By the way,
how
that was one of my family members, too, that I refused to go see. That's another one within the family.
Yeah.
Operating room nurse, I'm not getting that vaccine.
See, that's incredible to me. Why are we polite? I'm sorry I monopolized the conversation. Pamela, I apologize. I'm so glad you called in tonight. Listen, I'm looking at the time. We ran out of time. I think we need to do this as a two-hour show, you know, and Monday nights from 8 to 10. You guys, I love you so much, and I'm so grateful and thankful that we have one more show before Thanksgiving. Pamela, I'm begging you, call in next week, will you?
Okay, yes, I will.
Pamela,
I'm
so thrilled to hear your voice. I'm so thrilled. And Wayne, as always, listen, listeners at home, we've been brought to you by DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. I apologize for monopolizing this. Next week, I will serve penance by not talking about politics. We will talk about nothing but joy and Pamela's dirt talk about delicious food. You can be naked during the broadcast. Just don't stand on a scale during it because you will put on weight as she recites her food. We're out of time. I love you all. Gwendolyn, thank you so much for another week of this show. Thank you.
Oh,
absolutely.
Sure.
Good night, all.
Have a safe week.
Good night, all.
Good night.